Hello and a warm welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week, one story dominates the episode as it was announced that manager Jim Martinelli had resigned from the club. We'll also look back at what was his final game in charge and preview this Saturday's game against league leaders Dunfermline. Yes, this is the Blue Team Podcast, back again for another episode. I am Colin Byers, and with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, Colin. How are you?
Not too bad. Quickly, just going to say, we got quite a bit of feedback off our last week's episode. I think it was a build-up of a bit of frustration, a bit of... maybe the anger is the right word, but we didn't plan it to be that way, but it just certainly seemed to be that, you know, we got a lot of things out that we were maybe kind of keeping back for a few weeks, and a lot of folk, as I said, have come back to this, and what we'd like to see is people comment in. If you agree with us, disagree with us, get your points across. That's what we like to see. But we didn't mean it to come across like the way it did, or we certainly didn't plan it that way as last week.
No, we certainly got off topic for our notes of where we're going to go. But I mean, it came from not just us, but there's been growing frustration as we came over the last couple of months, and I think it was just an open discussion. It wasn't aimed at, you know, any one person within the club in particular. It was just an open general conversation. Like you said, that there's people that have agreed with us, some henna, and that's the beauty of doing this. You'll get folk that agree with what you're saying, you'll get people who disagree, and it's interesting that you look at it from a different angle that you maybe haven't come across.
But what we were trying to get across was that we felt as though that there was a change needed, whether that means it was a change of management, change of... the tactics on the field, change of personnel on the field, things like that. Just something to get away from what has been a really, really bad run.
Yeah, there was a change needed somewhere. Like we said, we weren't sure where that would be, whether it would be at the top, whether it would be on the playing side of things. But evidently, based on the results business, and there had to be a change somewhere along the line.
And that brings us to our main topic of conversation for today, which completely means that any notes and everything that we had prepared for tonight's episode goes out the window. The news broke earlier on this afternoon, literally within the last couple of hours. Jim Martinelli has left Peterhead after his 11 years, or just over 11 years, stint. Peterhead had confirmed it via a statement earlier on, and that is it. He is no longer the manager. In the interim, his assistant, Davy Nix, is going to take over until such time a new man is appointed. Initial first thoughts?
The initial first thought is I think it's the right decision for... the reason of we felt we needed a change, and I think a change of manager, you know, it sometimes helps, it sometimes doesn't. You'll only see the benefit if there is over the next couple of weeks and months. But I think, you know, Jim has been there 11 years, a change probably was needed. But when you look at everything as a whole, as you said, he's an 11-year, 10-year winning the title as well. There was Hampden in the Cup against Rangers. There's been some special days under Jim, and I think we should look at his time at Peterhead over, you know, the course of 11 years, and not just over the last 3 or 4 months where it has turned, I wouldn't say sour, but, you know, a lot of frustration, a lot of disappointment in this campaign.
There was a bit of speculation over the weekend, and even then, you kind of sort of take it with a pinch of salt slightly with what's been said. And even once it's... Even with that, I should say, once the confirmation came through, are we still kind of a bit, it seems to be that's it, done and dusted. It still came as a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, we've exchanged a few messages over the weekend. I think we've allegedly been told. And, you know, it's difficult because Jim's been there, as we said, 11 years. He's the longest serving manager in Scotland. And, you know, that they are few and far between. You want to get that sort of level of longevity again. I think we'll see any manager, you know, in Scotland doing that sort of service. Like you said, when the news broke, it was strange. It was a wee bit surreal. It was almost like, this has actually happened now. Jim has decided to, you know, he's going to go. And I think it's interesting that it's Jim that's resigned. He isn't, you know, he hasn't been sacked. I think that's a point to note in the statement as well, that Jim felt he was letting the club down and letting Roger down. So, you know, I kind of give Jim credit where it's due. It takes a big man to turn around and say, I'm maybe not getting this right. It doesn't matter if it's side of the fence you were on, whether you were Jim out or whether you wanted Jim to stay. It takes a big man to step up and say, I don't think I'm quite getting this right this season. I'm going to try. You know, and he has given the club a chance of surviving. He hasn't done this in March when we're dead and buried. You look at the league table, okay, it's going to be really, really tough for a new manager coming in. But he's probably done it at the right sort of time.
As I say, put about the timing then, because we're almost at the halfway stage, three, four games before we get to that midway point of the season, just before Christmas. We're mid-November. It does allow the new person to come in, assess the score, assess what he's got before the winter window opens in January.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever a brilliant time for a manager to leave that's been around so long and knows the club inside out. But we are, you know, 7 weeks away from January window opening. It will give the board a little bit of time to weigh up who they want to take in, assess their options, and also gives the new manager, when he does come in, a couple of weeks to assess the squad and see where he wants to improve. Players are maybe going to be moving on. It also gives players that maybe haven't had a chance this last couple of months to, you know, relight the fire, so to speak, and, you know, try again. It's almost like a pre-season for a lot of players who are going to have to prove themselves. All those players were taken in under Jim and Davey. I think the timing, good's maybe not the right word, but I think, like I said, he's given the club an opportunity, and he's also done it. He could have waited until middle of January. You spent a little bit of your budget, and then the plans are all thrown out the window when a new manager are coming in. So, again, it takes a big man to step up and say he's got it wrong, he's left, so he's held head high, I think.
Where do you think it has gone wrong then? Yeah, obviously, as we said, it's a results business, but where do you think it's maybe gone wrong for Jim as a whole?
I generally think it's just come down to this season. I think the loss of too many key experienced players in the summer going, you know, it was always going to be difficult losing players like Simon Ferry and Derek Lyle. And then you lost Scott Brown, you lost Gary Fraser, and Brett Long moved on. You know, and these were key players, Ryan Conroy as well. They're big characters within a squad, and I think you can almost absorb losing one or two, three to a push, but when you lose as much of your core squad as that, it was always going to be difficult. I think before the Monday before the Aberdeen game, with 8 registered players, no registered goalkeeper, and I think that sort of tells you where we're at. If I'm being probably hypercritical, I think the way the contracts, I think we maybe let them go on a wee bit too long in terms of getting an answer back from certain players who then decided to move on. I think we need to get an answer quicker. Like, so this season, if we've got players out of contract in the summer, you know, you need to get a sharp answer back, because we lost out a few of our key targets in the summer to other clubs. So I generally think it comes down to this season and losing so many key players in the summer window.
Does that come down to the recruitment then, maybe not being proactive enough to, in anticipation of maybe losing some of these players?
Potentially, I think the movement of Simon Ferry had such a knock-on effect. I mean, when we heard the news of Simon leaving, first of all, you're disappointed. But even I didn't think it would have the domino effect that it did. So I just wonder whether Jim and the board, you know, Martin Johnson, who was there at the time, I just wonder whether that news sort of came out a wee bit left field that caught them by surprise. It's, you know, it's not just as easy as to react, right, but we're losing Simon, we'll go get somebody to replace him in the next couple of days. It takes time, it takes preparation. There's a lot of things to go through to get a player up. It's not just a case where you speak to somebody on a Monday and they're up by the Friday. So I generally just think losing so many key players in the summer window, Losing targets as well, players that we've maybe identified to come in, they've maybe gone to other clubs. And it was a very difficult window for Jim and Davey in the summer.
We had the sort of privilege to kind of get to know Jim over the course of the last 2 years, 2.5 years, particularly during the pandemic when football was played behind closed doors. It was very, very open, very welcoming, and I think just going by some of the comments that have been mentioned on social media already in this short space of time, that's a recurring theme. We always had time for everybody when they were looking for it.
Yeah. So firstly, just touching on, you know, we got in through COVID and we're really lucky. And Jim was very open. He said anything you need in terms of players and interviews, he arranged all that for us, and, you know, we'll be forever grateful of it. I looked at the comments on social media, on Facebook, it's about an hour ago now, and I think at that point there was about 33 comments, and when you read every one of them, there was not one negative comment about Jim. And I think that tells you everything you need to know about him as a person. I think that's why he'll be a big miss in the club. You know, 33 different comments on him as a person. There was a lot of people said he did a lot for the youngsters in the toon, coaching days, being very open with them. And I don't think there'll be many managers like that, that you can approach on game day and he'd be very open and speak to you. So he had a lot of time for folk, and I think a lot of folk will miss that ring about Balmour.
I think that's one of the reasons why he stayed so long as well, because he's been very welcoming of, you know, or been open and had a lot of time for folk in and around the club. But with that as well, the tune itself, I think, has been very welcoming of that. And it's a two-way streak. And as you said, sometimes I think that's one of those things that gets missed in terms of a relationship between a manager and the club's fans.
Yeah, I did. Somebody said to me, it was a few months ago, and probably even in the summertime, that they felt Jim just came up, he did his job at a weekend and went back down the road. Now, that is maybe the case post-COVID, or, you know, after the lockdowns and everything. But before COVID, Jim was up every week. He was doing things. He was doing the coaching, the youngsters. He was there. He was running about. He was helping out, doing things. And like I said, I think a lot of folk will miss that interaction, the headway. He was, you know, after games, he would say, yeah, I'm in a rush to get home. He's still yapping to you 20 minutes later. He would give his time up to hear a yap with you. So, yeah, it's going to be very different looking over at the dugouts on Saturday and, you know, Jim and A being there.
Yeah, and I think that's going to get that's going to take a lot of getting used to, as far as Jim's now there. And you know, when you see something like the Pye and Bovril tweet every now and again when somebody leaves, how long they've been there. And yeah. James, I was at the top. Now they put it too early on today, and you just see Peter right at the bottom. And that's what I'm saying. That little things like that will take a long time to get over. And the fact that he's just not going to be there on a game day.
Yeah, and it'll be strange, but going forward, what I hope that we don't do is become one of them clubs that every 6-7 months are changing managers. Because there's been a lot of good things happening in Jim's tenure. We've got to remember that a few years ago he put in his resignation from when we got relegated, and that was rejected. The club knew that Jim could get us back, whether it was the first time of asking or not. They realised that Jim was a person to do it. So, I mean, I'd imagine if you look at that tweet that Pye and Bothell put out, I dare say the vast majority of managers are 2 years or less. I don't think there's that many. In the grand scheme of the amount of teams, how many managers, I would maybe say 8, 10, 12, something that would be 2 years and above. But I really hope that I become one of them clubs that every 6-7 months we're looking for a change of manager.
It's obviously the first time we've been looking for a new manager since 2011. So, you know, the speculation will be rife as to who is going to come in until such time that we do get the new man in. But, you know, 11 years, 468 games, he's won 203 Drawn 92, lost 173, with that, so it gives them a win percentage of 43%, which is a great record for any manager, and I think you'd be hard pushed to get a record like that anywhere else over such a long period of time.
Yeah, like you said, it's over a long period of time. It's not just one or two seasons. It is 11 year, and I think it's going to be a big change. It might just be the catalyst for a few changes within the club, whether they, you know, depending on the direction they want to go doing. Do they want to go manager? Do they want to go head coach role? So this is maybe the time that if there is going to be a change within the club, that this would be the perfect time to do it.
Yeah, maybe a slightly different thing altogether, but, you know, losing Martin Johnson in the summer as well, that's Jim left as well, that's two guys that have been at the club for a long, long time, guys that, you know, you would have seen them at the club. So these are big losses, and you said it might just give the club a bit of an opportunity to go, right, where we're going and how we're going to get there. Maybe just reset altogether.
Yeah, well, and we've also got to think, you know, Roger's been there a long time. He had Martin and he had Jim as his right-hand men. They were there to... They all supported each other. It wasn't just a case of Jim was picking the team. It was a united front for the three of them, all trying to pull in the same direction. As you said, losing Martin in the summer, we've then lost Jim now. You know, I don't know what Roger's thoughts are just now. He's going to be in a difficult position as well. Does he want to continue? Does he not? You know, what right direction are we going with a manager? Are you going for an experienced guy to come in to try and keep us up? Do you go for a youthful manager to... If you do go down, to try and bring us back up, it poses a lot of questions. But like I said, I think if there is a time that there was going to be changes within the club, I think now would be the perfect time to do it.
This is obviously, as we said at the beginning, it's still a fresh story. A lot of the stuff obviously come out a bit in there, maybe the reasons and things like that. So we are just kind of relying on what we've picked up in the last 2 years before we've started the records. We'll touch on a wee bit in there again next week. But in terms of his successes, where do you think he stands in terms of what he's done for the club in that 11 years?
Well, I think he should be held in, you know, high esteem. He's... You know, he won the title to get us promoted. He's taken us to Hampden on a cup run. There has been some really good results and performances within that time as well. Like I said a couple of moments ago, I think it generally just was this season. You know, and Jim doesn't need the hassle and the stress of it. He's been there 11 years. He doesn't need to prove himself to anyone within the game. He's highly respected. You speak to any, you know, ex-player that we've had over the last couple of years or anybody that knows Jim, they've only got good things to say about him. So I think he should be held in very high esteem, and probably even higher now that he's decided that he feels he couldn't take the club any further forward, and he's given the club time to decide his successor.
Does the two League Two titles and as you said that cup final mean that he should be and maybe will be doing as a legend, as a figure that maybe rightly or wrongly that people will then sort of compare to in the future?
Yeah, and I think he should be. I think we've also got to remember that Peterhead's in the northeast of Scotland, very difficult to attract players, and some of the players that Jim has managed to almost convince, you know, players that had maybe come up just for a look about, and then within a couple of weeks, you know, I've decided, yeah, I'll actually take a season here. There's a lot of clubs, you know, in the Central Belt area that have got more money to throw at things. We haven't got that luxury up in Peterhead, and Jim has managed to get in some really quality players. You know, and you see some of them, you know, Scott Brown playing at a higher level, you've got Grant Slavery playing at a higher level. Some players have gone on to play at a higher level, some of them are playing at an equal level, but have come on as a player. So I certainly think he should be, when you look in 10, 15 years' time, I think managers, when they say compare him to Jim, but when you see Jim's longevity and what he's been able to do for the club, I certainly think he should be held in, you know, a really high esteem.
difficult to maybe narrow this down, but have you got a favourite moment or a favourite memory of his time at the club?
Well, like I've touched on before, I think winning the league title is one, but I think the atmosphere at Hampden, you know, the players coming out, okay, the final didn't quite go as you'd hope. But, you know, the getting to the final, first of all, great achievement. And then, you know, seeing the players walking out in a packed Hampden, the goosebumps you get, you know, at them moments you'll always cherish as a supporter. You know, and that comes down to Jimmy's coaching staff on, you know, that season. So, yeah, I think for me that would be the two.
So, I taking it sort of a different way, I just sometimes enjoy just listening to him. It's just, as we said earlier on, you know, you could say to you, right, I've got 5 minutes, and then 20 minutes later, he's still there speaking. He was so open about various things. Sometimes that got him into bother with certain folk. But it was a joy to listen to somebody that wasn't just full of the usual cliches that you would get. His vast experience within the game as well. It was good to kind of feed off of that during that time.
Jim seeing things on the pitch that we didn't. You know, we could be watching a game and we'll say, "Oh, what did you think of that?" And he would give you a completely different view on it because he's been in the game so much longer than we have, and you know, for a manager side, I think he knew how the game works. Like you said, sometimes we got into trouble. He wasn't scared to say what he thought, which whether you agree with or not, it got him into a bit of bother. Yeah, I think just his general openness, like we've mentioned before, a lot of people had time and respect for him because of how open he was. I'm pleased that we were able to, you know, get a couple of years within his knowledge.
It's obviously all hypothetical, but do you think he'll go into another job somewhere else? Or do you think that's maybe it for him?
I can't see Jim going into another managerial job. Whether he was to take almost like a director of football role or, you know, a consultant role somewhere for a club. I know that he does some work for the BBC as well, for the radio, so he might decide that's a route to go down as well. But I would be surprised if Jim took another job in management.
Yeah, I think you probably touched on it there. I think that the fact that, you know, he could still go to football games, still watch, but almost get paid for it. So that takes the pressure off, and it can maybe just enjoy things slightly. And so maybe that media works, maybe the way to go.
Yeah, you know, we've come across over the last year, there's a few guys that we've spoken to that have maybe they gone into coaching or anything, they want to do the scouting or the, you know, the analyst reports. So, and, you know, the way the modern game is, that's, you know, hugely important to coaches and managers these days. So, with Jim's experience, I would not be surprised if he did, like I said, go into like a consultancy job or a director of football role somewhere. But I would be surprised if he took on the pressures again of another team and the day-to-day management.
Whoever comes in is always going to have a big job on their hands or in their hands. We're sitting bottom of the table, 10 points behind 8th at the minute to get away from the relegation battle. So, would you prefer a manager who's had a bit of experience and maybe knows this league in terms of, you know, that they've been there before, or do you go for a completely fresh approach altogether and go for somebody that's a bit younger and has fresh ideas?
You get a mixture of both. that's not an option. Right, okay. So it's A or B. I think we're at the stage now where you look at the options out there. I'd probably say you're looking for, I would probably say a youthful manager. They send a manager with his first job, but I think new ideas, you maybe doing something different in training. Just like I said a few minutes ago, the modern game is changing. It's different to what it was maybe 2-3 years ago. So I think maybe them new ideas and doing things different, you know, when I say tactical work, more analytical work and looking at things that we can improve on, I think that might be the route, in my opinion, to go down. I'm not sure whether you'd go with that or the experience side.
I don't think we've got a squad that's full of bad players. I just think that there's always a massive lack in confidence at the minute, and sometimes you just kind of feel that. I mean, tactically, maybe things weren't going the way they should be. So maybe it doesn't need a complete 180 in terms of what they're doing, but maybe just subtle differences, subtle changes. Maybe is all the guys are needing in training, or maybe on the field itself in terms of the tactics.
Yeah, and that could also be an option to go down. I think a change was needed, but then, as I said last week, I think if we were going down the route on slight subtle changes, could there have been somebody brought in? You know, like I said last week, the support side. It doesn't necessarily mean a complete change, but could have somebody have been brought in, even somebody watching for the stands, you see things different, or looking at data and looking at video analysis of the games. But the decision has been made now. Jim's decided he's going to move on, and I think it's going to be a very, whoever comes in, like you said, it's going to be a difficult job that they're taking on. But I also think it's one that, you know, a lot of young coaches or managers making their way in the game, that's maybe going to be their second or third job, I think it would be an attractive proposition as well.
Obviously, there has been a lot of names being banded about already, as you'd expect. The ones that's sort of maybe more predominant so far, David Robertson, who obviously played for Rangers, Aberdeen, Leeds, Scotland as well. It seems to be the main one in terms of the fans. Paul Hartley is another name. It's been mentioned. What do you think of those two candidates, or potential candidates, I should say?
They're on our shortlist. Whether they're on Rodgers is a different story. I wouldn't be against any of the two of them coming in. I think Paul did a really, really good job at Cove. I also think he was a bit harshly dealt with a Hartlepool. What has he got, 8 games or something? Mm. Really, has no time at all to make an impact on a squad. So yeah, him or Davey, Kane Davey's local to the area as well. That also plays a part. I think Paul's still in and around the Cove area. Again, it's managers that are local. You know, and I think that's going to be a key thing for fans as well over the next couple of months is, you know, looking at the local guys that we've got. Is it going to be a local manager? Is it going to be someone, again, from the Sentinel Belt area coming up? So, it's a lot of decisions for Roger this week to look at and see where he's going to go. But out of them two, I wouldn't be opposed to any of the two of them coming in, to be honest.
Yeah, they're both Aberdeen-based as well, both available. The only thing that might go against an approach for Paul Hartley is in terms of the budgets he's generally used to, in terms of, you know, the money he had at Cove, and then obviously at Hartlepool as well. It would be a big difference in terms of the budget that he would potentially get at the Peterhead.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, if you were looking at it from Paul's point of view, he may decide that this could be a job, okay, we're 10 points off 8th, but if he did get them, you know, into 8th place, or say we did go down and he was able to bring us back, again, his CV has got another promotion on it, which might in terms, it's maybe, I don't think, this might sound weird, I don't think Hartlepool was that big a step up from Cove in terms of, you know, where they were. I think Paul maybe fancied his luck at England, which a lot of coaches do. Again, he maybe just, if you're a manager in England or a board, or maybe looking at Paul's CV and thinking, well, he got 8 games and he was given the done, yeah, he maybe needs to take a team like Peterhead, it's one step back to then go 2 forward, looking at it for his personal point of view. So yeah, I think it would be an attractive proposition for a few coaches.
How about one totally left field, somebody that hasn't had a job in management yet? How about somebody like Barry Robson?
Interesting.
Stunned silence.
Interesting. I wasn't sure where you were going with that. I mean, Barry's done well with the Aberdeen youngsters. You know, Aberdeen's produced a few good youngsters. Ryan Duncan, he was on loan with us last season. You've got Babbage coming through as well up there at Cormac Park. So, yeah, again, not opposed to it. My only worry would be if it's going to be a a player or a coach making his way in the game, is he going to be able to keep us up at the first time of asking? Would you then have the confidence in him to lead us back? All ifs and buts, you're not going to bring, no one's guaranteed to bring success to our club. But again, it's a young coach. He's renowned, you know, Barry's got a good reputation at Aberdeen for his coaching style. So again, wouldn't it be opposed to that either?
An advantage of him coming in, if he would come in, is that we're more likely to get Alfie Bavage on loan at some point as well, which would be a good deal.
So that's your hidden motive. I wondered where you were going with the Barry Robson. Okay, so now I know it's to get Alfie Bavage.
There are a few other names, maybe. These guys are in jobs, obviously, so that might make things a little bit more difficult in terms of, you know, the compensation packages, etc. Graham Stewart at Bucky Spiders, we mentioned it by a few as well. They're obviously doing really well in the Highland League. Mark Cowie as well, Fraserburgh manager. Step up from Highland League to League One, is it drastically different? Is it maybe a step too far, or is it something that maybe these guys would take on board, you know, to try and test themselves at a higher level?
Yeah, I think if there's coaches that are willing to progress and do well for themselves, I think some of them would fancy their luck. I think Mark Cowie would be a very good option. Same with Spider. I think there's pros and cons. A few folk at work mentioned today about Mark Cowie, you know, being local to the area and whatnot. So, yeah. Like you said, a change was needed. At this moment in time, I really didn't think Far would be our best option and, you know, the route to go down.
I think it's unlikely that we're going to get a poacher manager from a League One side, potentially even a League Two side. You might look at some of the guys in League Two if they're doing well, you know, like so Stevie Farrell, Dumbarton, they seem to be doing well, although he was relegated last season. Darren Young, Sterling, doing well there as well. But these guys, like you said, they're based in the Sentinel Belt. So you are looking for potentially somebody for the Highland League, or somebody, as I've said, is available in terms of they are unattached at the minute.
Are we also maybe missing out Davy Nick? You know, he's still there. Would he fancy going solo on his own with someone alongside him? Mm-hmm. I know that Jim and Davey's been together for a very long time. Whether Davey's just there in the interim to help, we've seen it a few times. Your interim will then stay on to help support things. Again, he might throw his hat into the ring.
What we've seen in the past is Ian Stewart getting the job. He was already at the club and he took it on. Neil Cooper was the same. He was Steve Patterson's assistant and then took on the job. So there has been guys that have stepped up from, you know, either being a player or a coach or assistant manager and then taking it on. So that wouldn't be such a left field at the appointment, but he's always been the number two, and sometimes making the step up from number two to number one is a bigger jump than some people can anticipate.
I'm also just trying to think from an outside point of view. You look at the league table, as you said, it's 10 points a gap. Would some people look at it and go, I don't know whether you're going to be League One or League Two next season? And they maybe wouldn't have committed at this stage and taken it, but they may consider in the summer. Is it something that Roger might ask Davey to take on till summer and reassess the situation? Because at the moment, I think if you were to ask potential people coming in, they might look at the league table and go, I really don't care what division you're going to be in, and that might put some coaches off.
On the flip side, some folk might see it as a big challenge. They're right, I'm going to go up there and watch this. I'll get you out of this, and I'll get you safe.
Yeah, absolutely. There's two ways of looking at it. I think those who have got the drive and determination will look at it and go, yeah, I can do it, which is why I think, you know, people like Paul Hartley might be more inclined to take it because they feel that they can do it and, you know, try and keep it in the division. But it'll be an interesting few weeks, because I think we're going to hear a lot of names banded about over the next 48, 72 hours.
Yeah, it's absolutely, it will be an interesting few weeks. I would like to say, though, that if we are going to get somebody in, I would like to get them in before, ideally, the Clyde game, because obviously I think that's going to be a pivotal game for our season, which is just before Christmas, which is the 17th of December, I think it is. So just over a month to get somebody else in. But I wouldn't like it just to be right, oh, we'll just bring in this guy because he's available. Make sure that it's the right appointment as well.
Yeah, and that's the balancing act that Roger and the board have got, where you want to bring in a manager as quick as possible, but you've also got to give the club the best opportunity as well. I don't think throwing ideas out there and saying, right, this is the man we're going to get in 5 months' time, where only one win and we're struggling, even worse than what we are now. It's got to be the right appointment. It's new territory for Roger. It's been a long time since he's had to recruit, at the board as well. So we've got to take our time, but at the same time, you've got to make an appointment that gives the manager the best chance to look at his squad going into the January window.
Do you think it's a job that will get a lot of applicants? Do you think it's going to be an attractive prospect for somebody?
Yeah, I think it will. Like I said, I think you can look at the league table and go, we're only 10 points, or you can look at it and go, you're 10 points. It all depends on your mentality as well. If you're a positive person, you'll go, no, I can do it. I've got belief in my own ability. I think how Jim has spoken about the club and how well it's run, I think that goes a long way as well. Managers and coaches speak amongst themselves. They know good clubs when they see it, and I think that there will be a fair few applications coming in to Roger on the board. And it's just about them, going through it and seeing what vision they've got for the club going forward.
Yep, so we'll wait and see what happens on that. Obviously, that's going to be the main kind of talking points for the next few weeks as to who the potential new man could be. But we'll touch on his 468th and final game, what turned out to be his final game on Saturday, was the away trip to Airdrie, 1-1 draw in the end. I think anybody would have taken a draw at that stage, and we probably felt it was a decent point in the end. But on the flip side, I think some people may be suggesting that a point, okay, is a decent point to a side like Airdrie, but it's wins that we were looking for.
Yeah, a weird feeling on Saturday, because if somebody had said to you before the game, you'll get a point away to Airdrie at the start of the season, you thought, yeah, that's a good result. But where we're at on the table, where Airdrie are at, and the fact that we're in the lead, it was a late goal. Yeah, a point is maybe a slight disappointment, but the positive is it is a point on the board. Probably even more frustrating that Clyde managed to get something at Dunfermline. I hadn't envisaged them getting anything against them. So slight frustration, but it's a point on the board, and it was a step in the right direction, I guess.
You mentioned the Clyde result there. I mean, about 20-25 minutes, half an hour in, they were 2-0 up, and you think, well, that's the new manager bounce kicking in already, and you really started to think, oh Christ, we're going to have to get something out of this game.
But it's also a Jim Duffy team, so naturally they conceded 2 goals and brought him back. I'd envisaged Clyde, they getting nothing for the game, so the fact that they got a point. But at one point, we were winning and Clyde were winning, then Dunfermline scored to make it 2-2, and then we conceded. So, over the piece, a point was probably an okay result, but given the league table, as you said, it's wins that we're really looking for.
And because it was such a late goal to concede as well, I think that probably makes it even tougher to take.
Yeah, when you watch the goal back, Danny Strachan's a couple inches away from getting it to one to let, and it doesn't go through. There's also the shot that goes through Ryan Strachan's legs, and 99 times over 100, if you take a shot and it goes through your defender's legs, it ends up in the back of the net. It's something we've been moaned all season. It's that little bit of luck. If Danny got a toe on it, it doesn't get through the boy. If Ryan was a bit closer, it doesn't get through his legs. All ifs and buts, but the fact that we've done so well in the game up until that moment, in the last 5 minutes, and to concede a goal, very disheartening for the players.
With three changes, Julian Carey came back in for his suspension. Andy McCarthy got his first start of this season after his lengthy injury, and Andy McDonald was back in as well. So there was a more sort of maybe familiar back five. We had Danny Strachan, Jason Brown, Ryan Strachan, Andy McDonald, and then Jack Wilkie at left wing back. it did seem to be a lot more solid. I just wonder if maybe because we've got that combination of Jason, Ryan Sarkin and Andy McDonald back again playing, it just made it a little bit more kind of solid, and defensively we seem to be better as well.
Yeah, they're a good base. There are big, tall, strong lads. They've done a shorter challenge, and they're getting about as nice to say that other players on the team would do that in our defence. But I think we're a lot more solid on Saturday than we have been in the past. And I think the balance with Danny one side and Jack on the other, like I said, good balance. I thought the defensive unit were good on Saturday, but it's getting that continuity. We've got a point away from home against Airdrie. It's now building on it. And, a lot of players will now look at it and think they're almost playing for their future in terms of they don't know the new manager's going to come in. Is he going to like my style of play? Is he going to like me as a person? So, again, there's a lot of players now got something to prove as well.
I think the disappointing thing for me was that once we'd gone one up, we seemed to almost sort of regress into ourselves again and we sat back. Kind of touched on it where we were kind of speaking about last week, maybe the week before as well. Almost just happy to kind of, we've got the lead now, let's just see it out for the rest of the game. A long time to try and see it out. And I think, although McCarthy hit the side netting at one point as well, so there wasn't really much going forward. That's maybe the disappointing thing. We didn't try and go out and get that second goal and try and kill off the game.
We did it, 2-3 weeks ago. We didn't come with that stick or twist. Like you said, there's a long way to go in the game. It's not a case of throwing caution in the wind, but I think if we'd gotten a second goal, whilst 2-0 is always quite a precarious lead, I think at 2-0, the way Airdrie have been playing it, I think we would have won the game. So, again, frustration that we've been in a winning position and they managed to hold out, for the first time this season. But you look at the positive, and we did give ourselves in a winning position. The goal for Jason Brown, great determination. You mentioned it over the weekend, his determination and drive to try and win that header. Was everything you want to see when he's attacking. So that was a good side. Again, the bad side is now holding on.
I think we've got to give Jack Brown a bit of credit as well for getting that header at the back post. I mean, smartest man in the team. Managed to get a header at the back post to keep the ball in as well and just to knock it back across, and it was just asking for somebody to come in. So I think he deserves a bit of praise as well. But as I said, Jason's sheer determination just to try and get to that ball, it just shows the kind of player and the leadership that we sometimes need for players like that.
Yeah, and it's not often that you'll say Jack Brown wins a header at the back post. He's one of the smallest guys that we've got in the team. Like you said, great ability to keep the ball in. He's kept it alive, and Jason's followed it up. We got ourselves in a winning position. I just touched on it again. It's disappointing that we've not been able to follow it on and try and get the 3 points, which would have been a massive 3 points on Saturday.
And that block at his right at the end of the game as well, it just shows you his desire. I mean, he's run across the 18-yard box. He must have sprinted about 10, 12 yards just to make that block.
Yeah, his commitment you can never question. There's been question marks over temperament in recent years. I think that's improved massively as well. I think in a disappointing campaign, I think from his personal point of view, he's taken on a lot of responsibility within that team as well. There's a lot of characters in it before. A lot of them have now gone, and he is one of your mainstay players. And he's got a key part to play in that defence, and he's got an even bigger part to play when a new manager comes in and, reorganising the defence.
I think he should definitely be part and parcel of the new regime, regardless of who he is, because he just seems to live and die for the club now as well.
Absolutely. I think he's got to be part of, you speak about team leaders within a group, within your playing squad. I think Jason's certainly at the very top of that list. I think likes of him, Ryan Strachan and Andy McCarthy, they've got to be involved in whatever direction we're going in. These guys have got to be on board and pulling with you.
I mentioned the goal that we did concede. Really disappointing to concede it, as you said. I hate to use the term, locks against this, but as you said, Danny's got two sizes bigger feet. He might have stopped that in. And it slipped under Ryan Strachan's, or between Ryan Strachan's legs as well. So hugely, hugely disappointing to concede so late.
Yeah, it's a double whammy. Like you said, if Danny's a bit taller, his again through Ryan's legs when the shot's been taken. But unfortunately, that is the luck you get when you're doing it at the bottom of the table and you're fighting for your life. If we didn't have bad luck, we'd be effectively in their luck. And that's just the way the season's gone. And it's a combination of, you know, a few things over the course of the season which led to Jim deciding today that he would move on. But it's about looking forward. A new manager's to come in. He's got to try and get confidence in the squad. You touched on it at the very start of the programme that there's players. It's not a bad squad. There's players in here that I still feel could play at a higher level. I certainly think Jason Brown, Andy McCarthy, these are players that could play at a higher level. We've also got Russell McLean to come back. Like I've said previously, one player will not change a squad. But you've seen how much better we were in midfield when Andy, you know, started the game. So, there's very small signs of improvement, and you're hoping that when a new gaffer comes in, he can get the confidence installed to the players and we can start to look forward rather than behind us.
And really disappointed for Tom Ritchie in goal again. Really putting a shift again. A few good saves. And you just think to yourself, he really deserves to get a clean sheet at some point. And he's getting closer to it. I think once he gets that one as well, it's a bit like a striker. I think once he gets that one goal, the confidence builds. Once he gets that clean sheet and behind him again, I think he'll just get on and be an even better keeper for us this season.
I was critical of Tom a couple of weeks back when he came for that cross. I felt he should never have come. He was never getting it. I didn't think that was one of his better performances, but on Saturday I did. I thought, okay, he's conceded, but like I said, when it goes through the defender's legs, you're always going to struggle to save it. I agree with you. I think once he gets that first goal, the first clean sheet, I think he'll go on to be an even better keeper. I think the defence will get the confidence from that as well. It is just, like I said, if we didn't have bad luck, we'd hate no luck at the moment.
I'll just quickly go through some of the comments. Obviously, some of them are a bit moot now because of what's happened today. Aki has on Twitter, he says that what was obvious when Hewitt and McCarthy were done in midfield, Julian was playing in the middle of the park himself. No support. Changes should have been made earlier, but McDonald was excellent. And that was kind of picking up on a point that we've been making the last couple of weeks, the substitutions. So it's obviously that other folk are picking up these kind of things in terms of, well, they're obviously done, and especially McCarthy coming off a lengthy injury as well. Kind of these changes that it should be made, and maybe this is something that a new manager with a fresh perspective might be able to pick up on.
I think we have been too slow in making changes. We've all seen the games at Balmour. You can make a change 10, 15 minutes earlier than what we do, or we don't make changes that, you know, it's too similar when you're trying to change a game. Like you said, hopefully a new manager coming in with fresh ideas will look to explore that avenue.
And I'm pleased that Andy McDonald's getting a bit of praise as well, because he was getting a bit of criticism just before the game he got injured in as well. But it's good to see that he's come back and he's playing well, and hopefully he takes that on into the next game at home as well.
Yeah, the back end of last season, he came in for a fair bit of criticism, but then there was a couple of games, I think it was East Fife away, and we played someone else, probably his two best performances we had. Again, it was on the back of a little bit of criticism from the stand. So again, he'd had a good game on Saturday. To be fair, most of the defence did, to be fair to them. And you're hoping that if there is any criticism that he's been made aware of, that he comes back stronger, which I'm sure he will.
Few of the guys here, Ian Ritchie, Les Penny, Lee Esman, all making the same kind of point. It's a positive point away from home. Neil Thompson, pity we couldn't hold out for the 3 points, but hard work. It was hard work later on, and the guys gave it their all. And I think that was probably what we were anticipating. It was back to the wall kind of stuff, particularly second half.
Yeah, which I sort of expected, away to Airdrie. Like I said, if somebody had said to you beforehand, you get a point away from home to Airdrie, you'd consider it a good result, but the way the game panned out, you're disappointed that you hadn't held on for 3 points.
We'll quickly touch on one other bit of news. Last week, Hamish Ritchie signed a new deal, new extension. until 2024. Obviously, out for the season, so it's unlikely we're going to see him play this season, but the club have made the decision to give him a new contract. He's signed it. That is another one that's probably unheard of, to give a player who's out for a season a new contract, but it shows that, you know, there's a commitment there from both the club and Hamish for next season.
Yeah, Hamish was one of the first guys when he came in on loan from Locos in January. He played brilliant right until the summer. And he was one of the first players recent times that we did give a 2-year contract to. I kind of mayor, when I say mayor common now, but there's a few players that are on longer contracts. So they realised the quality he had. Locos realised he had a fair bit of quality as well. They were disappointed to lose him. So whilst he's still injured this season, I don't think we'll see him at all this season, but he's now got that relief that he doesn't need to worry about coming back for the last month to try and prove himself to get a contract. He doesn't need to worry about it. He's got that new contract for another season. He can purely focus on his recovery and coming back next summer. It's the old cliche, it will be like a new signing because he wouldn't have played for a season, but you're hoping that whatever injury niggles that there might be after he's fully fit, that they're not long term and he can come back fully fit, ready to go next season.
Yeah, that's a good point about him just concentrating on his recovery now and coming in next season, and hopefully we see the Hamish Ritchie that we did at the tail end of last season when he starts playing again next season.
I think it would have been quite easy for him to try and worry, you know, going into April time, whether he was going to get minutes. You know, he probably thought Jim would have still been there. So obviously, in the change of manager now as well, he doesn't really need to worry about his future. He can concentrate on his recovery, and I think that'll be the best for everyone.
As confirmation as well, Christian Kazuka has left the club. We obviously speculated last week about why he was his opinion in the squad. Hasn't worked out for him, and he's left disappointed that it hasn't worked out for him.
Yeah, his scoring record wasn't the best. It's one of them where both parties have sort of cut ties. It's not quite working out. We seem to be a wee bit psychic in this programme. We'll mention one thing that comes out in the press. So this week's question is, where is Hifzala? Where's he at? What's happened to him? We went to play for Egypt and he's come back and, you know, he's hardly been seen since.
Well, maybe read me into that next week or when the new manager comes in, but we'll wait on that one.
We'll ask him.
We'll ask him. We'll fly over to Egypt and see if he says.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're kind of running out of time. We'll touch on this Saturday's game, Dunfermline at home. League leaders will obviously be a tough game. Obviously, it's the first game for Davy Nix in terms of the interim against his old side, of course. How do you see this one sort of panning out?
I really don't again. You know, okay, we're bottom, Dunfermline's top. But it's almost like a free hit for the team in terms of you're playing the league leaders. But there could potentially be a new manager in the stand watching. There'll be rumours. There could be somebody in the stand looking to take over, and the players are fighting for their future for the coming months and into January window. And you've got Davy, he might want to make a name for himself, put himself in a short window if he gets a good result, gets him off to a good start. So I really don't care how Davy will go in terms of selection or formation either. So, like I said, I think it's a free hit. It's one of them. I don't know how many people outside the club would give you a chance of getting anything from. So it's almost throw caution to the wind.
I don't think we'll see too much changes in terms of, you know, how we maybe set up. Because obviously he's worked with Jim for so long, and I think maybe the performance on Saturday maybe just leaned to, well, let's just keep that going a little bit. But we're coming up against a team that maybe doesn't score an awful lot of goals. I mean, they've scored 22 so far in the league, and that's only the seventh best in the league. They are top, so they didn't concede much.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's two sides that one doesn't score an awful lot of goals and one concedes quite a bit. So I wouldn't be anticipating too much in terms of the personnel, but it might be one of those kind of games where we really need to be patient.
Yeah, I think we're going to struggle to break them down. Like you said, when you mentioned that comment there, they're the seventh best team, you know, in scoring, which evidently means that they've got a very, very good defence. You know, it's James McPeake, it's in charge there, isn't it? Former Dundee defender. Would that be right? I think it's James McPeake. So, I mean, if it is, I think that he came from Dundee. He's, you know, he's been a centre-half himself. So he knows how to keep the defence tight. He said we're going to have to be patient. It's something that we maybe haven't done too well on this season, trying to work our way into the box. But you know, I'm sure Davey, so used to saying Jim over the years, it's become second nature. I'm sure Davey and the guys might have sent up their sleeves to try and get the 3 points.
Yeah, and it's going to be completely, I think it's going to be a completely different atmosphere in and around the stadium as well come Saturday. Because it's a home game, it's the first home game without Jim being there as well. I think there's going to be a lot of eyes on the club this week in terms of, you know, how we're going to get on without Jim being there. So it could be a completely different atmosphere, as I said, within the stadium.
Yeah, that's an interesting point you've made there with the atmosphere, because I wouldn't say it's been toxic's not a word to use, but there's been rumblings in the last couple of months, and it's been growing stronger. You know, we've left the stadium. There's been a few folk hearing grumblings, and they're not happy. So, like you said, I think a different atmosphere on Saturday. If we can get I think there'll be a decent Dunfermline crowd come up as well. Should make for a good atmosphere, and you're hoping that just gives the crowd or the players a bit of a lift with the crowd being in sort of semi decent spirits, I would say.
It's been a dramatic day. It's been a dramatic first couple of days as the sort of rumour mill kicked in, and you know how the rumour mill can be in Peterhead at the best of times. So it's been a weird kind of day for us. I think this whole episode in itself has been nae how we would have thought it would have been yesterday when we started doing our notes and things like that. So it's been completely different, and I just wonder how the next kind of few weeks are going to pan out.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting few weeks. I think there's going to be many different people linked with the job. I think it's an attractive, you know, proposition for most people. And the fact that we've got home game on Saturday, I think there's going to be a few folk looking to see who they can see. Oh, I think I've seen him at the game, and the rumour mill starts again. Would not surprise me. But, you know, Davey and the guys have just got to concentrate on playing Dunfermline.
And anybody that sees Mark Perry in the stand, then I worry. He's
been there for weeks.
He's always there. He's working. He's not linked to the job whatsoever.
I'd say it's almost as bad as Paul Mathers when he was up a couple of months ago, and then the rumour mill was that he was taking over on the Monday. He didn't say which Monday, to be fair, the rumour guys. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a few folk linked to the job over the next couple of days, and it's all about how Roger and the board decide which route we're going to go down.
That is it for this week's episode on what has been a dramatic day in Peterhead's history. On behalf of Martin and myself, I'd like to thank Jim for his service to the club and to what he has achieved over the past 11 years. I'd also like to thank him personally for all that he's done for us and the help he's given us with the podcast. It just leaves me to say a big thank you to Martin Smith for joining me and to you guys for listening. I've been Colin Byers. We'll be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.